In the stealth group, in the other group, we're talking about leprosy. And the idea that leprosy is the sign, it's just the type of rebellion. And rebellion from God's standpoint doesn't have anything to do with what we think rebellion is. Rebellion from God's standpoint means offering strange fire, i.e., you know, you have a thought that isn't under the coals, i.e. you think that there's a separate thought that you have that isn't of God. That is the definition of rebellion. For you to believe the lie that you are separate from God or from the brethren. The idea that the things that we do in order to prove to ourselves and to others that we're not separate are what the human race calls communication. And so everybody in every culture and every age has taken a mystery, which is the alphabet, which was intended to show the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and use the alphabet, just as they use the signs of the zodiac, as an instrument of self-realization. Now, communication then has become for you an instrument to prove that you're not separate. And therefore, when you speak to someone, or a group of someone's, or if you write to someone, in other words, if you communicate, your communication at the gut level, the motivation for it is to try to gain togetherness. You understand me? And so therefore, you communicate with an end in view. By definition, communication then becomes utilitarian because it's dependent on someone's response to your attempts at communication. And therefore, you're always confounded. You're always ashamed. You're always confused. You always expect something else other than what takes place.
That's why I was watching a show and it had people's blood pressure when they were, it had to do with pets, but it was like the resting blood pressure just went sky high. Talk to someone else, just talking, because in the show it says because of fear of judgment or fear of, and but when they talk to their pets, there was no fear of judgment, and their blood pressure went down. But right. It's really wild just talking to someone.
So endemically, in the nature of the beast, in the nature of the human race, your communication is always dependent on what someone's response to your communication is. So therefore, it's always with a motive in view. Now, as we talked about, all commercials and commercialism, all fashion industry, all advertising, etc., is based on a premise. The premise is that you, in the deepest part of your being, in your closet, believe the lie that you are separate. Therefore, commercials and fashion and everything tries to cause you to believe that if you buy that product or take this course of action or study or buy this perfume or this makeup, that you won't be separate. Now that's the basis of modern of the communications of mankind. Now, our purpose, that one of the reasons that I'm weird to most of you is because I don't care what you think about what I say. And you intuit that. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a biggie. And because of that, you're afraid of me. If I don't care what you speak, then there is no possibility for the old man, the old way, for you and I to ever be one. And so we're always separate. You're always in fear of me.
We can never gain rightness through what we say.
You understand me?
Yes.
Then what is the purpose of communication? Huh?
Well, that just cleared up something that has always bugged me in my long relationship with you, and all of a sudden I understand something. I mean, that's exactly what you said. I understand that now.
Yeah, that clears up. I was thinking about this just the other night. Why am I afraid of you? I mean, because I am. And what you just said, too, in all the communications I've ever had in my life or professionally or anything, I've never known an exception to what you just said.
There isn't.
Other than this group, other than what you just said. I mean, there's no exception.
Now, this is the kind, I hope, of seminal moment in your life that can cause brain cells to explode. Now just consider your life. Think about this from the standpoint of your life. If you never again had a need to communicate with someone, and the mystery is, when you stop having the need to communicate by your words, by your mind, you're one. Now, every time, with every one of you in this room, some more than others, I have had moments or flashes when I am totally at one with you, where nothing in the universe can separate us. Understand?
Yeah, I can sense those too.
And when that happens, it's wonderful. Now that's what fellowship is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then have we fellowship. The word fellowship is koinonia, which means emptying, communion, oneness with one another. Now, again, let me repeat. Since the very first instant when you were a crawling baby, your motivation to learn to communicate was based from the earliest moment on the idea or the lie that you were separate. The whole world is wondering after that, worshiping the beast, because everything you do, every heartfelt speaking, writing that you do, is to try to get you so that you won't have to believe the lie that you're separate by a means other than that which God has described. So you're trying to enter the door, but instead of entering the door, you're climbing over the wall of the sheepfold. That makes you a thief and a robber in the spirit.
Is that kind of why a lot of people do drugs, because of the camaraderie?
Yeah, it's a phony. It's entering. It's guaranteeing. The only time there is communion possible is in the sheepfold. We'll see that perfectly in the stars. That's what the Big Dipper and the Little Big Dipper are all about. When we get to there eventually.
So, what's the original purpose or language? Or, it's been converted.
The original purpose of...
I can't even imagine.
Okay. I want you to try to visualize a scene or a feeling or a moment in which the only awareness you had was of God and others. Now that moment of awareness is what was in Adam and Eve prior to the fall. Now the reason I'm talking about all this, because it ties exactly into what we're studying. the fall of man occurred on the feast of Yom Kippur. Okay, now, what then, if your reason is to communicate anything, is to prove that you're not separate, what's my reason of communicating? I have one reason of communicating.
Well, it's the same reason, except it's to show us that we're not separate. It's not to prove to yourself that you're not separate.
Speaking what's there.
Has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with, yeah, that's we're speaking what there, but why do we do that? I'll show you why.
Good.
Glad you asked. Because this is the seminal difference between what we see as communication and what everybody else in the world sees as communication. And this is why, when this is manifest in you and us as a body, we will explode the world.
I feel like I'm sitting on a powder keg.
Yeah, you are. You're sitting on a powder keg. That's all right.
It just makes it well. You said in the sheepfold is the only place where communion is possible. Was that a slip of the tongue, or are you using communion and communication interchangeably?
The same thing.
Communion and communication are
the same thing.
Yeah, because if all communication is utilitarian, then there is no real communication. By definition. Impossible.
Am I communicating with everybody?
Well, you're talking.
Well, I mean, well, you got my attention.
Do I have all of your attention?
Yeah, you're sitting on counter. Are you saying that nobody in the world communicates?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That even works in like it's kind of clear. With September and I, you know, in a marriage, if something's trouble, then my first response is to try to build a bridge out of communication. To talk us back into a position where we're together. Mm-hmm. And it never works.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then we'll go along and finally get worn out and tired, or something happens, and there's no words, and we're back together. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
We both start crying.
Well, that's like,
this is never because of the words.
You know, the people that they call the great communicators are the people with the worst premise that supposedly convince the best. I mean, you know, the clearest. What you would imagine to be the shakiest.
Do you think I'm a good communicator?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I think you're a great communicator in that, I mean, again, just what I said, the wild premise and the fact that you force it. It's not a forced listening, it's just that you are compelled to listen. You can't stop listening.
You know,
what is it about what you know, stop a minute and think about something, okay? Some of you have been coming to this group, listening to me talk a couple hours a night for 14 years. Some of you started earlier. You listened to me on the radio before that. Well, I mean, not here, but I mean in the other group too. Now, nobody in the universe is that interesting. There's no way in hell that I could have, by any means that's known to man, sustained your interest. Now, Harry does it, I mean, Harry has had, you know, he not only hears it for the last 3 years or wherever it's been, he hears it here, and then he goes back to the office and edits it, and so he hears an extension of it, and yet he's still fascinated, compelled. Why?
No, I mean, it was a...
Yeah, come to Ollie for stroke.
There's an honesty.
Yeah, but those
I mean,
are cliches.
I mean, that's a cliche. I know that, even as I say it, but I'm just saying that's the only word that I have.
Okay, let me try something here.
Jackie and I were talking about how we thought, you know, I was talking to her and I said, you know, maybe it would help sometimes if I really believed if I was convinced that you were subject to the same things I am. Because, you know, ever since I've known you, you've been in a position of so much more freedom than I have, just because of, you know, what you've experienced or, you know, what God has graced you with. And so, sometimes it's hard to conceive of you as being subject to the same things I am. But that's, the communication thing is just that, you know, I know You know, you speak with authority. Well.
Okay, well let's even get rid of what does it mean to speak with authority? What does that mean? Okay, well let's see if we can find out. Okay. Communicate.
Oh.
It's archaic meaning is to share, like to communicate a meal or a bread or money. The present meaning is to convey knowledge of or information about, to make known, to reveal by clear signs, to cause to pass from one to another a disease.
So you get a star.
It means, however, its original meaning was to receive communion. Webster's. The next meaning was to transmit information, thought, or feeling so that it is satisfactorily received or understood. The third meaning is to open into each other. Now, if we all have a commonality, not just you and I, but everybody in the world, if there is a commonality at the core of your being that is exactly the same as what's in the core of my being, then we automatically then get rid of a lie. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
If we are eating from the same, we are one bread, we are one cup of wine, and in communion, we see not ourselves but Him, then that is the perfect definition of communicate, is to have communion. All that I can do to you, let me show you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, Paul further said in Galatians, he said, as I said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So in this, there's a mystery taking place. The human race, the Adamic being, is attempting, by definition, to please men by his communication. Now, it may not be, he may please selective men, or he may try to please a broader base, it's called politics, but he's always trying to please men. Please meaning what? Please meaning to manipulate. A believer's function and purpose of communication doesn't have anything to do with you. I don't communicate because you're here. I communicate so that by the words of my mouth, the line of demarcation between you and me will be revealed. The line of demarcation between me and the world will be revealed, so that by the act of believing and speaking what I believe, the total and complete separateness of me from the world is revealed.
Yeah. Sanctification.
That's called sanctifying. set apart. It's called being a saint.
It becomes apparent.
So that's what preaching, I mean, preaching in this...
Preaching, right, it's the exact opposite of what these idiots think preaching is. Now, the wild beauty of it is, by the power of God, if I preach the fact that you and I are separate, then His resurrection is automatic in you. And therefore, we're one.
Wow.
That makes so much sense.
That's wild.
I mean, that's why you always say, sin, and then Christ is resurrected. I mean, it did.
Now, in a very real sense, this is what the Feast of Yom Kippur is about. The Feast of Yom Kippur is a celebration in you. You're not going to like it. Part of you isn't going to like it at all. But it's a celebration by which you will be freed from the need to please any man.
Amen.
Amen.
And therefore your speech can be pure.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? Oh, okay. I feel like you've gone somewhere.
I'm freaking.
Maybe it's that direction. What are you freaking about?
Well, I don't mean freaking out like ready to run out the door or anything. It's just, I mean, it's mind-boggling what you just said.
This is great.
That by saying that you and I are separate.
The only thing I'd do...
Rather than saying you and I are brothers and we're one in the spirit and all this stuff.
Well, the only thing I do is make the separateness so apparent that the only hope is resurrection.
Yeah, it's not like saying, you don't even say you are separate, you say, you show us just by saying this is what it is, and we say, God.
Exactly right.
I mean, we see our own faces.
Now that's why you're afraid of me.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've been doing all day.
Because all he sits there all night and says, hold up a mirror.
Really? Boo.
Now, but by the same token, God pulled a trick.
Tricky guy.
We'll see the greatest trick he ever pulled when we study the scapegoat. But he pulled another trick. He pulled a trick in that when someone speaks, as I do, in any generation, in any time, it is so compelling. It's as though they're watching a car accident, or watching a fire, or watching some disaster.
Or watching their own death.
There's something compelling. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Until you cross that line where you are freed from the need to please men.
Man.
Okay? Mm-hmm. When you are free from the need at meager attempts at manipulation, especially in relationships.
Yeah.
Boy.
Marriage. I can't tell you enough how that you've got to stop worrying about what someone's response to what you have to say or what's in you at any given moment. God has placed the divine impulse in you at that instant to be exploded, not giving a damn what the response to it is. And the words that come forth have nothing to do with attempting to cause someone else to respond in a predicted way. The words that come forth have one singular purpose, and that's to cause you to be sanctified.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you think saying what's there will cause you a divorce. It's got to be said. Otherwise, you're denying the resurrection of Christ. That's what Yom Kippur is a celebration of.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about the Kol Nidre thing.
The Kol Nidre is the most beloved of all rituals that takes place on the feast or the fast of Yom Kippur. And we do it, and we have a little ritual which we build a fire. And you take some material object, so there's sensory perception, and you take and you throw on that fire every vow that you have ever made, including your marriage vows, every promise, every ideal that you have to yourself. And it's the most beloved of all rituals, because it manifests then, when that's materialized, when the word is made flesh in that arena, in you, it manifests a total and complete lack of anxiety in your life. Now that's the essence of the Day of Atonement. And at the same time, there's the scapegoat and all these other rituals which we'll get into. But it's the time in which, at the exact moment when the high priest was sending away the scapegoat into the wilderness to take away the sin of Israel, John the Baptist was looking, and he saw and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Except the real, what he really said was, "Behold, the goat of God which taketh away the sin of the world," because the lamb was never a sin offering. And I want you to see that the essence of your sin that he is taking away from this is your propensity to make a vow, to have an image that you should, or you might act as a fool. As Tara and I had a big communications problem. But it's the idea, and you know, it's the idea that you would say that something in you is not of God. And therefore you suppress it, you change it, you turn it to make it acceptable. Or you don't say it because you're afraid you'll be a fool. Or you shouldn't be like that. Or you should be more spiritual than that. Now, part of Yom Kippur is a fast. And the reason for the fast is to show you that your life has been dependent on those vows and those external conditions that you have defined your identity. Something happens in fasting. Now this is a big time fast. No eating or drinking water. No washing oneself for any reason. No anointing the body with perfumes. No hair combing. No taking sleep out of your eye. No wearing of shoes. No sex. No external stimulus of any sort. No radio, no television, no newspapers.
Just sleep on the floor.
You're supposed to turn the furniture upside down in your house and sleep on the floor, but yeah, I mean, we carry it to a point. I want you to carry it to the point of seeing. We're not legalistically keeping the rules, but we're doing this in type so that you might see your ridiculousness. To see that your identity isn't based on these external phenomena nor your vows. A lot of your vows have to do with appearance. Blessed, this is one of the rituals that are the things that is said. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who gives us this day of atonement, who asks us to pause from our mouthing of food in order to speak of you and only you, who asks us to pause from our drinking of water in order to fill ourselves only with you, who asks us to pause from making love with each other in order to focus our love only on you, who asks us to pause from the cleansing of our bodies in order that we might see that you have cleansed us totally, who asks us to pause from the anointing of our heads in order to bring us nearer to the anointing of Messiah, who asked us to pause from wearing shoes of skin in order to bear our skins to holy ground, who chooses that for this your day to press down ourselves that we might let the oppressed go free. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, ruler of all space and time, who make us holy, make us sanctified, and commands us to press down or afflict our souls. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Where's that from?
Philo.
He didn't write it.
Philo of Alexandria, didn't he?
He wrote it.
Oh, he took it, but...
I'm just wondering who they would be talking about when they would say, in order to let the oppressed go free. I mean...
The period between the day of New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the period in the day of Yom Kippur, there's 10 days, and it's called the Days of Awe. So in this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, don't think it's strange if things don't go exactly like you think they should. Scriptures say, Leviticus 23, don't go there, Leviticus 23. On the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This is the baptism of fire. You shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And whosoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. It shall be unto you a Sabbath, and you shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month at even, from even unto even, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Understand? The reason is, one singular reason, that you might go from that position of being the adolescent who's led to and fro by the sleight of man, where they lie in wait to deceive, that you may pass from the adolescent to the young man, that you may pass from the wilderness to the promise. Amen?
Amen.
No. Any soul is a fool if he says, I want to do this. I want to do this fast. But for once in your life, one time, I want you to see the difference between motivated by soul and motivated by spirit. And the Day of Atonement is the day that Jesus Christ was baptized. The day that he was baptized is the day in the spirit, that he caused any other sacrifice to cease. Nothing else is required. And therefore, what it means in you is on the day the atonement, on the day that the Day of Atonement is celebrated in knowledge in you, it's the day that you're freed from the feeling the need for any other sacrifice of your life, any other activity. Amen?
Amen.
I don't like to fast. But I love having fasted. Now, on the Day of Atonement is that the blowing of the trumpet sounds once every generation. And it's called the Feast of Jubilees. Now, everything that's happened in the past generation where there's been usurpers on the land, where there's been renters or illegal owners on the land by the law, when there's been slaves that were owned. When that shofar is sounded, all slaves are set free. All property, all land is returned to the ancestral owners. Now, there's a bunch of you in here, see? There's a Louie and a Pete and a Margaret and a Beth and a Rick and a Lee and a Linda and a Patty and a Matt, and a Jackie, and a Barbara. And especially Harry. And a Tyra. And a September. And a Daryl. And an Ole. Who have been usurpers, illegal usurpers on the land. Now on the feast of Yom Kippur, the ram's horn is blown, and the land is returned to its rightful owner by the law. The rightful owner of your land is the God of this universe, no longer you. And this day you can say in knowledge, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now lead in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what Yom Kippur is about. There's a lot of other wild and wonderful things, scapegoats, and Christ being baptized, and what, you know, Jews only baptized once a year. And they're baptized during the days of awe and on Yom Kippur. So we know that that was the day that Christ was baptized. So day, Yom Kippur is the day that Adam and Eve fell. It's the day the flood started, Noah's flood. It's the day that, but at the same point, it's the day that Moses ascended the second time and received the tablets. It's the day that Jonah was swallowed by the whale.
How can we know that?
I can show you. The word Jonah is the Hebrew word for dove. So you follow the dove. Whenever the dove appears on Yom Kippur.
Appeared.
Baptism of Christ. Huh?
In the dove.
Oh, no, I mean, that's one. I mean, the other. How do I know that Adam fell in Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Well, I know that, I know a lot of stuff. I know that the earth was created on the feast of Rosh Hashanah.
Because it makes sense by its meaning?
Fits the form.
I know that Cain slew Abel on the Feast of Passover. I know that Adam fell on the Feast of Yom Kippur. I know that the flood came and destroyed everything on the Feast of Yom Kippur. I know, a lot of it I know from rabbinical tradition, the Zohar, the Talmud, but before that I knew it by revelation, because it had to take place then.
Yeah, judgment.
But that the same, again, God looks just at a day, at the same day that sin entered into the world on Yom Kippur, God was seeing that Christ was baptized, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now you have to see that your propensity for individualized self-realization is all based on the fear and the lie of your separateness. In another sense, then, the Feast of Yom Kippur is the celebration of your lack or absence of separateness. So then, it's a day of total joy, total freedom to the seed. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else? At the end of the feast in Jerusalem, the daughters of Jerusalem would come forth dressed in white. The rich would buy the poor's dresses. They all had to be the same in terms of quality and cut. I mean, they were different, a little bit different, but they were white, all in white. And they danced through the vineyards. And they sang, "Arise, young man, raise your eyes, and behold what you have chosen for yourself." And what he had chosen for himself will be consummated in a few days later, at the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of Yom Kippur is the day of it's the judgment day. It's talked about in the New Testament. The only one survives the judgment day is he who proceeded from the Father. So the only one in you that can survive both the preaching and the fasting, because I'm going to be meaner than a son of a bitch. I'll be meaner than you've ever seen me. The only one that can survive is that in you which proceeded from the Father. Amen?
Amen.
It's the offering. You're presenting yourself as the offering made by fire. Anybody else? What?
Yes.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Take a big guy.
Take a big guy.
Yes.